Welcome to the Sunday morning broadcast of the South Carolina Fellowship of the Fishermen Ministry. If you would like to support this ministry and our programs, please go to our website at www.thefishermanministry.org and click the donation button on the site. Thank you for your support.
So we do come, Lord, as we are, and we trust in you, in the way you've made, and we presume to have nothing to offer you except the faith you've given us, which we return to you joyfully. In Jesus' name, amen.
Power on this earth that can stand against God's word. everyone. Come, now is the time to worship. When you come, when we come together, sometimes it's for fellowship. Most of the times it's for fellowship. But it's also time for learning. It's also time to hear what the Lord has for us. And it's a time to worship and praise Him for all that He's done for us, all that He's seen us through, and all that He's going to do for us still. I think about the importance of worship and praising Him has become more apparent to me over the years. Being around Davey, it's really clarified. We have nothing that we can give Him that is worthy of Him. Nothing. He's good, we're not. That's just what it comes down to. But we can worship Him. We can sing to Him. We can praise Him for everything. And He doesn't care if you're off key. He doesn't care at all. Because to Him, if you're coming to Him with the right heart, it's a joyful noise to Him. It is something that He loves because He loves us, and we're showing Him that we love Him and that we're thankful to Him. And I know that sometimes you get here and you just don't feel like singing. You should. This is the time to worship Him. You set that aside, and I guarantee you, you're going to feel better. You have no excuse. Y'all have words now. You can read them. It's something that has been put on my heart for a while now, and it's something that came to my mind this morning, that it was time to say something about it. And I have a whole pile of scripture references that I can go to, but I've chosen one in the New Testament and one in the Old Testament. The one in the New Testament, Paul will appreciate this, it's in Colossians 3. It's in, let's do 15 and 16. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Now, if you think about it, we have this book in the Bible. It is the longest book. And in the longest book, there is also the longest chapter. It's 150 chapters called Psalms. Psalms means a poem put to music. David was constantly praising the Lord. And these aren't all happy and joyous and clouds and flowers. I mean, there are cries out to the Lord. It's his prayers. It's his desires. It's his wanting to not be separated from the Spirit of God. It's beautiful. And if you read through it, you will find so many of the songs that we sing present there. I remember, I didn't meet Davey before we moved there. And we got there on a Sunday evening. And the next Sunday we had our first service. And we had music practice. It was either Friday or Saturday. First time Cheryl, Bob, and I singing together. First time Cheryl leading us on keyboard. And we had three songs we were going to sing. And Davey was standing about right there, directing us. And he wanted it a certain way. And when Davey wants things a certain way, there is absolutely no reason why we shouldn't do them that way. Because Davey seeks to serve the Lord and please the Lord. So we were trying, and one thing he said to me that I will never forget, that has been proven to me numerous times, is that he couldn't hear me because I wasn't breathing right, so I wasn't singing right. I wasn't singing loud enough. And I didn't know how to use the microphone right, so it was just a bad situation all around. But he said, you guys have been in the chapel. I'm sure you've been in the chapel in Texas when it's empty. There's lots of seats in there. He said, look at all these seats. Are they empty? I knew that was a trick question. No. Right. Not a single seat in here is empty. Just like not a single seat in here is empty. Because they're filled with angels. And those angels are sitting here and watching you. And you are teaching them how to praise and worship the Lord. Are you teaching them in a way that you think they should learn? Are you teaching them right? And that's something that has stuck with me ever since then. And it's been proven to me numerous times. Because I'll be up here, and I know a couple of you at least have experienced this as well. I'll be up here, and I'll be watching my music, and I'll be playing, and I'll be singing, and I'll hear this fullness in the room that everyone is singing. More people than are even in here are singing. And I'll look up, and not a single one of you is singing. But the angels are. Which, it kind of stinks that none of you guys are singing. But the angels are singing. And it's beautiful. And it's something I hope all of you get to experience one day. Because it is just amazing. Because Davey was right. So we need to make sure that when we come to praise and worship the Lord, that we put all that other stuff aside. That's the time set apart for us to praise and worship Him. And if we aren't here and in it, we're going to miss what He has for us. You're going to miss those angels singing. You're going to miss hearing Him. Psalms 147. Praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant and praise is comely. The Lord doth build up Jerusalem. He gathereth together the outcasts of Israel. He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. He telleth the number of the stars. He calleth them by all their names. Great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite. The Lord lifteth up the meek. He casteth the wicked down to the ground. Sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praise upon the harp unto our God, who covereth the heavens with clouds, who prepareth rain for the earth, who maketh grass to grow upon the mountains. He giveth to the beast his food, and to the young ravens which cry. He delighteth not in the strength of the horse. He taketh not pleasure in the legs of a man. The Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear him, in those that hope in his mercy.
I learned from going on the road with Davey at Cornish Flats and Northfield and wherever else. We'll put up somewhere else in New Hampshire. But and this is not terribly different concept when it's in a tent as it is when it's in here. That there's a lot more going on than meets the eye, at least meets the natural eye. When we're in there, singing and worshiping the Lord and hearing His Word, you come to expect that the Lord's in this thing and He's going to move. And you come together and the power of our Lord starts moving everybody. And there's deliverance, and there's healing, and there's just a spiritual moving and groaning that in some cases, you know, in my case, more often there's a groan than there is any actual singing. But Psalm 100 says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all you land. But you see that happening over and over again. You come to expect. The Lord desires you to meet Him and desires to meet you in those. That's why we come together. This isn't coming together to punch a clock and be shown coming together. There's a reason why we come together. It's to hear His Word, to thank Him in praise and worship, and to be there with one another and share that experience and share the majesty and the power of our Lord. And that's the only place and the only time that is going to happen with all of us. I mean, you know, one-on-one, we might have some good times together, but corporately, with all of us together as the body, this is where that happens. Listening to John this morning. I might add, to praise God that happens, that He meets us in this. Doesn't matter how bad our singing is. When we come to Him, we ask Him to prepare our hearts to be able to worship, that He can receive, to hear His Word so that we can receive. That's something we should all be praying every before every service. Something we should be praying before Texas. That we go out there and we bring glory and honor and praise to Him, and that we're able to meet Him in the revelation of His Word and choose obedience and glory and honor to Him. Starting John 15:8. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in me, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment. Love one another as I have loved you. That sounds simple, but it's a call to making a choice. He isn't going to do that for you. You know, and that scares me because my heart's not there all the time. Or much. So that's not a good place for me. But that's a safe place in loving one another as He has loved us. The trouble is it calls, because how did He love us? Huh? He loved us unto the death. Choosing not His will, but the Father's. And it's no coincidence that the next verse he goes there. The next verse, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. He makes that connection. That's not a connection that is made for us because we've heard it preached in here. He goes there because that's how He loved us. And He did it because He chose rather to please the Father and do His will than to do His own. Which is a place of humility that we'd all benefit in partaking of. I sit here, and as I'm reading in there, I'm reminded of some of the very same words that are used in 1 John. You know, it's not... It's probably going to take the three or four different turns to get there, even though I had it marked. These things I write, these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. You want to partake in the fullness of the joy that is in Jesus Christ, then you got to choose to love one another as He has loved us. You have to understand that the price is your life. Because in apart from Him, as we go back to John 15, what does it say? I can do nothing. If you're going to partake of His life and the sacrifice He made for us and the loving that He did to us, and fancy yourself abiding in the vine, abiding in the body, the only way you can do that is by choosing to humble yourself and do it the way He did it. There is no other way. So you find myself in the same shape David is over and over again, man. Lord, have mercy. I don't fit into this at all in the natural. I need you. I need you. I need you to willing to work in me of your good pleasure. Because it isn't in me. It's not natural. And everything that is natural about me is dung. It doesn't please you. It doesn't serve anybody else. And it's death to me. I want to abide in your life, Lord. I want to partake of your goodness. I want to be made joyful and able to worship you and serve you and please you and love my brothers. And that's just going to take you doing a total, complete reconstruction work in here. Help me, Lord. He'll answer that prayer. He's good. And that's part of that transformation process that takes you out of being conformed to this world. Confirmation of this world might make you real popular, but it's also going to make you go into hell. You don't want to do that. You want to be transformed. Paul says in one place, translated into his marvelous kingdom. And why is it a translation? It's translation because it's not natural to us. It's like me standing up here and speaking Spanish to y'all. Y'all may or may not be able to pick up a word here or there, but it's not natural. Not the language we understand. Some of us understand English, sort of. But when you think of the stuff that he has done, when you think of the way he has met us, when you think of the way he has revealed his goodness to us and made us already partakers of it, it makes me joyful. It makes me humble. It makes me tear up. And sometimes I'm not able to get anything out in praise and worship. But I do nonetheless partake in it and enjoy being here for it. And we really owe it to him. It's the least we can do. It's like loving our brethren. It's the least we can do. We can partake of the fullness of his sacrifice, of the fullness of his demonstration of love, of the fullness of his demonstration of life unto life more abundantly and become truly thankful for being able to partake in that through his work. His work was sufficient. His love was sufficient. He cares for us. Choose to partake in that. For your sakes, for the brethren's sakes, so that you can truly be joyful and have something to praise him back with when you think of how all the good stuff he's done for you and all the good stuff he's done for you and all the good stuff he's done for you and all the good stuff he's done for you. This is not a body that has no experience with his goodness and his meeting us and his loving us and choosing to do that while we were yet his enemy unto death, even a cross. cross death. The death of a criminal. Choose life. Choose it more abundantly. Choose to live by His example. Choose to learn His example and do. And then sing praise and worship, glory and honor to the Lord. Because you mean it, and it's in there. In Jesus' name.
Praise the Lord. One, singing is definitely a battle. With singing and praising the Lord, it's a good thing. And it's definitely a weapon of warfare. Now, I see it in movies and you see it back in war. They were actually, depending on what trumpet sound there was or whatever the case may be, they were actually the communication to the armies on which way to attack, when to attack, when not to attack, when to haul tail, go around, flank, whatever the case may be. And it's definitely one of those tools in the battles that we have. And the biggest battle that we struggle is actually within ourselves. And as I was looking, I was seeing the points where we are a body. Okay, we are a body, and we have our place in His body. It's just like us having our place in the army. Not all are privates, not all are ground troops, not all are the one and the other. Some play the musical instruments that give off those sounds to the others. Some are looking back and making the calls of what action to take. Some are just right there in the front line, listening to the order to go forward. But praise the Lord. But one of the things that I really wanted to get to today is I was listening to Abraham and the opportunity that we have for our faith to be strengthened in Jesus Christ. And it's so easy for us to look upon ourselves. Well, let me put it this way. It's so easy for me to look upon myself and see that, and with that known understanding, with that carnal mind, go, this ain't going to work out very well for me. this is not going to work out very well for me at all. And I know how I am. I mean, I know myself very well. And it's one of those things where it's easy to look at somebody else and say, yeah, faith of the Lord will move for them, you know what I'm saying? In the sense in that he's going to grab on to the Lord. And the Lord is big enough for that person's situation. But when it comes to me, I go, boy, Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Because I know myself. I know myself, quite frankly, very much. And I know how I am. And Paul, you were just talking about the loving one another. Oh, boy. That's a commandment. And that part where you're talking that internal struggle, Lord, have mercy upon me. I can relate to that very much. Because I know how I am. But we really need to put not our focus on ourselves. I mean, we really ought not to do that. I mean, it's because when we put our focus on ourselves, that's when things go haywire. That's when things go haywire. Even if you look at the successes you might so call yourself that you've done in the world, or your failures that you, it's like, man, I mean, you like come to that brick wall, like, man, dang, I did it again. I mean, either way, it's just an error. Because our focus should not be on ourselves one bit. It should be on the Lord and what He has done. Now you look at Abraham. Now I want to go to Romans 4 because this is just a beautiful thing that I heard. And I was listening to Romans and I was like, man, I forgot how awesome this chapter was. Is. It's still in there. Didn't go away, by the way. And I want to go to chapter 4, verse 19. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised he was able to perform. He was fully persuaded. This is Abraham, was fully persuaded. That God was going to perform. God was going to do what He said He was going to do. He was fully persuaded. Now, if we can get our minds on that instead of ourselves and what we're doing or how bad we're screwing up or how bad or how good we think we're doing, if we can just cast that thing down, man, and put our focus on Jesus Christ and what He did in the fulfilling of the promise that He did when He went to the cross and God raised them from the dead and is sitting at the right hand of the throne of God right now. See, now, if we can put our focus on that and be fully persuaded as Abraham did, then what is going to stop us from going forward in Jesus Christ's victory? Nothing. Nothing. And see, and that's where we go in error so much. That's where I go in error so often. So often. It's not funny. But praise be to God because He's bigger than even that. And I'm not going, oh, that we may sin, that grace may abound. God forbid, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying looking at Jesus Christ, looking at what He's able to do, looking at what He's able to perform. And I'm going to go to the next verse because it does talk about it. And the next verse says, and being fully persuaded that He had what He had promised, He was able also to perform, and therefore it was imputed to Him for righteousness. I actually did hit the part I wanted to hit. If we can just put our eyes on Jesus Christ, because that's the thing. He says what he's going to do. And David talked about us being slothful in spirit last week and how to get out of that. You need your batteries recharged. Start getting in the corner praising him. Be diligent in his word. Be diligent in choosing to believe him. And as I go and as I go forward, I see nothing but opportunity on a daily basis to put this into practice. To exercise my faith muscle in Jesus Christ and put my focus on him. Because the situations that come to me on a daily basis of one of just like, are you freaking kidding me? Is this really going upside down? I just walked through the door. I should be going. That is absolutely the wrong response, folks. Absolutely wrong response. It should be I'm going through the door and I'm going, well, praise God. Praise God. Lord, you are good. And I'm here to serve you, and it doesn't matter what's going on here. It doesn't matter one bit. Because you are well able. You are well able. And you already have performed. What you promised you said you were going to do, you did. And I'm going to believe you now. You know, you look at Paul, goes into the next chapter in Romans there, and he's talking about he glories in tribulation. You know, Paul saw as these things unraveled and the tribulations that he had, that it was opportunity to minister to somebody else. It was an opportunity for the God to move and that he may be glorified. Even when he said, even when his face was steadfast to go to Jerusalem, and he was supposed to go to Rome, but he went to Jerusalem, and a bunch of crap happened. He still ended up in Rome, where he was supposed to go. And on the way, did the Lord get glorified in it? Absolutely. Was Paul being disobedient? Yes. Did he repent? Yes. Was the Lord glorified? Yes. Look at David. David took on Bathsheba. Was that disobedience? Yes. Did he turn and repent? Yes. Was God glorified? Yes. See, it's about Jesus Christ and what he has done. It always has been. And in those situations, in any of these situations that come up, as we read in Acts, and as we read in Acts with apostles, and you read in the Old Testament of the men of faith, you see God glorified, and it's all about what God could perform. And the mighty works that happened was not some manifestation of man's ability. It was always of God's ability. Always was. Now, the side that we play on, the side that we come across is, are we going to believe that? I mean, because the opportunity is there right before you now, today, right now. Are you going to believe that? Are you going to stagger at God's promise or not? Are you going to believe that he is well able or are you not? I mean, that's the choice that we have before us, isn't it? Gosh, do we believe him enough that he's able to change our own wretched hearts? See, that's what we have before us. Because he's faithful. He's proven himself to be faithful. He's proven himself to be faithful in our lives. He's proven himself to be faithful in the Word. He's proven himself to be faithful all the time. It's just, what team do you want to be on? I mean, do you want to be on that winning team that receives the promises of God? Or do you want to be on that losing side that does not receive the promises of God because it's simply of just what? Unbelief. Unbelief. And it's so simple. It is not complicated. This, anybody can choose right now to believe Jesus Christ. You can choose to believe Him. You can stagger not at that promise. You can choose that on a daily basis. That's the choice before you. And see, when we can grab a hold on to that promise like Abraham did, when we can just grab a hold on to that and just put all our focus, 100% of our focus, our faith in Jesus Christ and what He has done and what He's able to do, then all the battles and the struggles and the things that we go through are nothing. They fade away. It is just not a big deal anymore. It doesn't matter anymore. It's an amazing thing. And as we come together, that's what we're to do. I mean, why do you think we meet up on Thursdays, Tuesday nights? We got Wednesdays. We got, you know, Sundays, we got an arsenal. We got, and then we got an arsenal when we're battling through that, that we can go and we can listen to. We got a spirit we can tap into. And we got a voice we can praise Him. We can praise Him in our heart. We can choose to believe Him at any time. It's amazing how all those things just go strangely dim when you just put your eyes on Jesus Christ. These mountains, these giants, these Goliaths that are set before you, all of a sudden, ain't but a little ant you can go squash on when you put your eyes on Jesus Christ. It's amazing to me how I get caught up in the most ridiculous line of thinking, the most ridiculous set of circumstances that I just allow to drag me under. And why is that? Because of unbelief. And pride. And rebellion. And slothfulness. That's why this happens. Oh, by the way, guys, I am a sinner, just like you. But, of course, most of y'all already knew that. All of y'all already knew that. Probably y'all, some would think that I'm a lot worse a sinner than you guys. But praise God. Doesn't matter, because it's all about Jesus Christ. Amen. And it's been about Him from the beginning. Not once has it been about me. Not once has it been about you. Not once has it been about Paul, or has it been about David, or has it been about Peter. No, it's all been about Jesus Christ and how good He is. And gosh, we can just get our eyes and focus off the situation, off ourselves, off what we're going through, and put it on Him, man, this stuff just doesn't matter anymore. Goes away. Tell you, I battle. Paul knows I battle with that thing. Man, I got to put that thing down. I'll let it consume me. I give it just a little bit. I'll let that old man consume me. Eat me up. I go, you dummy. If I would have just put my eyes on Jesus, this would have been gone away a long time ago. Or not gone away, he'd just be glorified in it. Well, praise God. Let's choose to not stagger at the promises of God as Abraham did. Do we do now? I know I do. Or I did. But I don't have to anymore. You don't have to anymore. Those online don't have to anymore. Repent. Let's turn around, man. Let's get our eyes focused on Jesus. What he has done and what he's able to do. Amen?
Listening to the Eagle Radio Network. Our programming is listener driven. If you'd like to help support the Eagle Radio Network to be able to continue providing programming, please click the donate button located on our site at www.eagle-radio.com. Thank you for your support.